Alan Kring Productions presents the Illinois State Collegiate Compendium, Academic Lectures in Business and Economics. This is Business Finance, FIL 240, Section 2 for Autumn Semester 2018. Lecture 7, delivered on September 11, 2018. The title of this lecture is Ratio Analysis.
Today, Ratio Analysis. Now, I am your tour guide, Graham, and this is one of those ghost tours, you know, bring people along and they get spooked and all this. Now, I actually do this, and I know that I am going to take you to a place where there are real, actually, ghosts. And they're not nice ghosts. Some of them are malevolent spirits. You also have shadows, and you also have the possibility of something that's a lot worse, something elemental. Okay? There's a possibility of harm to you, possession, death. Would you like to know about that before the tour starts, or would you like to find out about it on your own as we go along?
Probably before the tour starts.
Okay. We're going into the three chapters that are very difficult in this class. If it seems like it's a harder material, yeah, it goes down deep. And it's not, if you work at it, that's why I give you all these chances and you can drop your three lowest scores, because this is where it gets a little more difficult, more analytical. And then you come up for air on the other side of three chapters. This isn't the worst of them, but you're getting to see that I'm looking for more analytics. Math, yeah, we've got calculators and Excel to do the math, but the thinking part is a little bit more difficult. So, for example, we're now going to look at financial statements, and we're going to peel them apart, and we're going to put them back together so that we can see what's going on under the surface, what the story is behind the numbers. So if I were to do that, let me do something quickly. By the way, a couple of things in your ReggieNet. I've got a financial analysis formulas sheet for you. Just print it out, have it laminated, put it on your refrigerator, maybe make a copy to keep in your wallet, fold it up, things like that. And I've also done something else here, too. To make it a little easier for you to do this, I've actually created an analytics worksheet in Excel. And this way, as long as you know how to push the formulas, and in this class, this lecture and in the next one, I'm going to show you how to pull external data. In other words, a file that is either in another drive or a directory or even on the internet, and just call the data in. And then if you want to update the data, you just bring in a new reference file, and all the stuff in this nice little file will, in this nice little analytics sheet, will wake up and change the information. This here, just a little background on what is expected in businesses these days. This is called, actually, this is a real cheapo version of what's called a dashboard. In Excel, you're going to do a lot of calculations. You're the brains behind the operation. But you have to do those calculations in such a way that the people to whom you give the information are not going to see all of the machinery. It's sort of like this. Sir, you know, you're a very interesting fellow. You talk, have interesting stories, you're fun at a party. Well, not that fun, but I mean, you know, spike your drink and then you get really hilarious. But, I mean, I don't want to see you, here's my insides, my heart, my lungs, here's my liver. No, I don't want to see that. Okay? Yeah, that's right. Okay, you should see mine. I had a doctor say, if the body is a temple, you, sir, are a Baptist revival tent. Okay? So, the point I'm trying to make is that we create products for end users. Those end users probably don't want to see the machinery, how we got our numbers. You know, they might try to look intelligent and say, well, how did you get that number? And you give them a bull crap story. You don't tell them the truth. They don't want to hear the truth. They don't want to really know how complicated it is. In other cases, lower level employees, you're going to have them do these worksheets. You want them to do the front end. You don't want them going to the back end and playing with the formulas. That's the last thing you want them to do. You've got it right. All they have to do is push in data or something like that, or just print it out. And so you put a dashboard up that shows just the final results. Behind it are the actual sheets that have the data, have the calculations, and all of that. So this is the idea of a dashboard, and this one's a very simple example of it. And I am almost sure that not one of you has been shown a dashboard, or even the concept of a dashboard yet. Microsoft Access, which is a database management program, they call them switchboards. And what's your whole job, database programs are really complicated. You want to put the front of that so it doesn't even look like a database. It looks like some fun, pretty thing. As a matter of fact, a lot of the games that you play, behind a pretty fun interface and all that, there is a real mess of code that you don't want to have anyone actually see or manipulate. That's this, okay? Ratio analytics, it says, and then we're just going to crank down through it. And I'm going to show you the way it's done. And then on Thursday, if you have a laptop, please bring it. You're not supposed to use laptops in this class unless I'm directing it. On Thursday, bring your laptop. You're going to open up Excel, and we'll do one of these together. You'll create the dashboard. Well, I don't know if I want you to really create a whole dashboard. But first, we're going to do the mechanics of an analytics, which is huge. Like I said, big data analytics is so big in business now. And then we're going to format it and make it pretty so that when we print it out for a board meeting or for a meeting of interested consumer constituencies within a company or something like that, when we print it out, all they see are the final numbers and not the machinery that created them. That's the whole purpose of this. What you're doing right now is to give you a real skill set. As I've said before, let me try this. Ma'am, do you have a resume put together? You do. On that resume, does it say, among your skills, Excel?
Yes.
Okay. Trust me. Now you'll be able to do that legit. You'll be able to say Excel legit. Most people put on there, I can do Excel, and then they see what Excel really is like, and they say, that ain't Excel. Oh, yeah, that's the Excel they think you're saying you can do when you put that on a resume and you submit it to a company, okay? So you'll have it for real now, okay? You'll be a superhero. One thing is, ratio analytics. I'm going to show you this ratio sheet here real quick again. We break ratio analysis down into large chunks: profitability ratios, liquidity ratios, asset management ratios, and all of that. The numbers are wonderful, but what we want to know is what the numbers are telling us behind the scenes. And in this case, one thing that the dirty secret is, of course, I think I already showed you this, is that you can go to the Standard & Poor's Global Net Advantage, and you can crank out for any company any ratio you want. It'll give you so many ratios, you won't know what to do with them. The reason I don't start with that, well, let's just forget about calculation, is because the calculations tell us how to interpret. In other words, gross margin. Well, that's your gross profit. In other words, revenue minus your wholesale costs. Over sales, that's gross margin. It's gross income or gross profit over sales. What does that exactly mean for a company? What is gross? Now, write down, you just write each of these down, and you'll be able to print out the sheet here, and then you can transfer them over. Gross margin would more or less tell you how much of every dollar that went into the cash drawer survived paying the wholesale cost of what was bought. Gross margin tells you how much of every dollar that went into the cash drawer survived paying the hard wholesale costs. And now I'll give you an example of this. Tell me I actually gripe. I'll have to do it from memory. I've done it enough times, I'm sure I can. I'll give you an example. Here is actually a real life example of my own. I sold one of my artworks for $650 last month. Now, in order to do that, there was the printing on the high quality 400-year archival paper. That actually cost $28. The frame for this cost $180. The double acid-free mat ran $68. The museum glass for that was $150. And then the wires and the hooks ran $5. So I think I got this right, because this is actually the number, maybe. 16, 1, 2 up there, 4, 12, 18, 23. Yeah. That was wholesale cost. That was the wholesale, the hard wholesale cost. So in other words, if I take, this is the revenue from that one sale, and this is the cost of the good sold, I got 9,100, is that right? Oh, I really sucked. Oh, no, that's okay, $219, okay? So in other words, $219 of the 650 survived the survived wholesale. So in other words, gross margin simply turns that into a percentage. $219 over $650. And in that case, what I can now say with some degree of certainty, I think I got the numbers right that time, calculator, it came out to be 219 divided by 650, 33, almost 34 cents per dollar survived. Now, is that good or bad? Unfortunately, you can't give absolute numbers. There are some numbers that are absolutely you don't want, but in a lot of cases, you have to say, okay, what is the history of my ratio? What is normal or average for my industry? So in a lot of cases, you can't say this is great or this is awful until you've done a little more than just this. In that case, in the case here, it doesn't look pretty, but if I put my price up, wonderful. I'm probably not going to get any sales at my level right now until I get a little bit better known. But anyway, so that gives you an idea of the real meaning of gross margin. Now, operating margin, you take out the rest of the costs, the ones what we call in business, you might hear the term soft costs, the soft costs. In other words, the ones that I cannot attach to an object specifically. Those are the ones that essentially, like the light bill, the internet bill, the mailings, the advertising, depreciation expense, unfortunately, which isn't even a real expense, but all wages and salaries, all those kinds of things. fees and fees for shows, payments for professional associations, that all that soft stuff that can't be put with a specific product. That's where the operating that's operating costs, and they whack it down further. Now, I can't really do that for this one here because you have to take all of your revenue and then all of your operating costs, so you get an aggregate. But in, the bottom line is that the operating margin, how much of your, of each dollar of revenue survived all of your costs before interest and taxes? How much of every dollar of sales survived all of your costs before interest payments and taxes? And then net income, the net margin. They take out the interest expense, you take out the taxes, that's your profit. And that one's the one, how much of every dollar, net margin, how much of every dollar belongs that you saw, that came into the cash drawer, made it to where it belongs to the shareholders? How much of every dollar that came into the cash drawer made it to where it belongs to the shareholders? That's all it means. Now, the net margin can be all over the place. There is no gold standard. You can have net margins in some businesses as high as 60, 70%. Damn those businesses. But you also have businesses that are huge, long-standing, extraordinarily durable, that have net margins under 1%. In other words, one penny survives. Like very large oil companies. Their net margins are a penny, two pennies, maybe even under a penny. In other words, 0.01. But they make such enormous revenue in the hundreds and hundreds of billions of dollars that a penny surviving to the bottom line on each of those dollars still makes the shareholders rich. We'll go through some other ones here as time goes along, but let's get to the numbers here real quick. Watch how I'm going to do this, and then we're going to do it together on Thursday. You can try it yourself tonight. The first thing I'm going to do is I'm going to go. Oh, a mother's work is never done here. Let's go SEC.gov. I also probably want to look at a company, have a look. I've learned not to just grab any company at all, because sometimes you get companies that have some real weird numbers and it really makes the ratio analysis look interesting. Okay, give me a company, a profitable company. We'll have a look at it. Yeah, go ahead.
AMD.
Okay, let's have a look. I'm going to say no if it's losing money, because when it loses money, a couple of the ratios don't exist. Important. If a company has negative profit, there are some ratios we traditionally just say NA, not applicable, or not accessible, or something like that. AMD, huh? Rock and roll. Oh, hey. Oh, really? You see the beta? You do see the beta, right? Well, hell yeah. Wow. Okay, let me make sure you all see that beta. That is a beta, essentially. Now, a beta of one is, it has, in a well-diversified portfolio, it has as much, it has the same volatility as the market. A beta of two means it has, in a well-diversified portfolio, twice the volatility of the market. A beta of three would mean that it has three times, in a well-diversified portfolio, it has three times the volatility of the market. A beta of 4.09 means that in a well-diversified portfolio, Satan has just given you a drink and said, try this, with a grin on his face. Okay? That gives you an idea of what you're doing with 4.09. And notice that the one-year target estimate, right now, $29.89, hold for a year, you're going to really do well with this stock at $19.94, and there's no dividend. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Fair enough. Okay. SEC. Okay, we're going to do filings. AMD. Note to myself, don't ask someone to suggest a stock. Okay, now watch. The first thing we're going to do, and you can do this as long as you have the Ratio Analytics XSL file, SXLX file, in the same directory as what I'm going to download. It's fine. I'm just going to leave them both in the download directory. I hope. Did I? Okay. Bring up the interactive data, view the Excel document, and see, you're just going to save it, and then that's what we call the reference file. Financial report. There it is. Now comes the fun part. Because you have this file, which is the financials. And we're going to use that one, that file right there, to pull data into this file right here. And then, anytime I update this file, that will update the information in this spreadsheet. So in other words, this is one of the ideas of a dashboard. The people you want to look at this will see the dashboard. They won't see this, and you hope they won't go in there and try to manipulate the numbers of this. This animal just sits on its own, just cranking out calculations from this one. I could even have left this one up there on the SEC site and then just pulled the site, and I'll show you how to do that in a secondary lecture, in another lecture. You can go to any site on the internet, as long as it's not protected in some way, you can just pull data and actually just pull the data in real time off a site. Like, if you want stock prices on your portfolio, don't download the stock prices. Just show the Excel sheet where it finds those stock prices. And every time you open the sheet, it'll just update with whatever it sees as the new information from the internet. That is analytics. That's the thing that these companies are wanting us to show you. And it's amazing. Once you get the hang of it, I mean, I really... Actually, there's a second thing, though, too. Sometimes I want to keep an old financial report and its analytics sheet just for reference later. I don't want it to update and wipe out what I've already done. And so I should bring that up. But anyway, enough of that nonsense. And this is kind of an easy watch. Ratio analytics. Okay, let's do the revenue. There's your revenue right there. Okay, watch. Well, where in the world is the revenue? So I'm going to say equals. And I'm going to come over here to this. Okay, consolidated statement of operations. Wow, there's... 12 months, there it is, see? Revenue. Sometimes you have to look around a while. It's good to recon, run through the sheet to have a look at it, to see where stuff is. But there it is. Well, spank me. By the way, we'll format these a little later. You really want to format the data. Like, for example, once I have all the things that are going to be dollars, I'll highlight them all. And they format currency, no decimal places. Wait, something is weird there. You see why that's phony looking? Hundreds, thousands, millions, billions. Okay. Is that what that guy there is showing? Hundreds, thousands, millions. Okay, yeah. Oh, we're okay. Okay, again. 1 year back equals, now we'll go back over there. Something that drives me crazy. Oh, there. It's leaving it right where I wanted it. There. And equals. Whoops. There. Really? Look at that. See what I've done there? I've actually just pulled in data. I don't have to type it back in. And if I pull in a new sheet, it will just go to the new sheet for the new data. And I can just crank it all the way down the line. Net income equals, and this is actually kind of a cheapo sheet. I should have put a few other things in there. If I get around to it tonight, I might do that. Equals, now let's go down, find net income. Where in the world net income is over here on this line? Keeping an eye. Wait, what? Net income. Let me go back over. Wait a minute. Yes. Am I down one too many? What's going on? Tell me. Talk to me. What I do? Go down one? There?
Yes.
Well, that's a relief. Okay. Oh, look at that, though. Isn't that interesting? Two periods before, the last 2 years, they were taking a butt bath. That's a technical term. And then, okay, equals. Going back over. Ouch. I think I was led into a trap here because this company actually looks better this year than it has for a while, but that's okay, interestingly enough. Although I can't do a growth on net income here. Oh, well, doesn't matter. Gross margin. Now, let me do something really important here. Look at this. Isn't this, by the way, gross margin is the incorrect term, but the SEC lets them do this. That's actually just gross income. Gross margin, margins are the ratios. But the SEC, I'm not the only one who's bitched at the SEC about, they just let anything be said. A lot of companies don't even report the gross. They're not required to. And I'm glad AMD is doing it because otherwise I'd have to insert a line and calculate it, revenue minus cost of goods sold. But they do it. But gross margin is not the correct term, but it's allowed. The SEC doesn't really care anymore. So gross margin. Gross margin is gross income over revenue. So what we'll do here, go back over here, gross margin equals... Go back over to your sheets. Gross income divided by, oh, no, I'm sorry. I'm looking at the quarterlies. Gross margin equals, I got to go clear over to gross for the, that one is row 6 for the 12 months. That one divided by that. $0.34 of every dollar survived from the cash register through the wholesaler. And then we can just do it again, equals, and then just crank it back through. That was 6 right there, divided by revenue. Ooh! Now we get some meat. Now we can do something besides do this boring numbers crap. Okay. Equals 6 that divided by that. Howdy. Let me do something here. real quick. Marquez, format those cells. Currency, none. And all of these are going to be percentages. And even these are going to be percentages. So I'm going to just format all those. And as you do this, one thing I'm sure is that you are a lot better. You learn a lot better when you see something instead of being having it just be described to you. Did you see what I did there? I just highlighted all the cells of a certain kind that I want to do the same thing to, and then I give it the format on them. Now we can talk gross margin. Is there anything really striking in gross margin before we go any further? Talk to me. Do you see anything striking in that gross margin up there that really says something about AMD? Yeah, go ahead. Is it the same number in all 3 years? You're negative one. In other words, this is the current year, 1 year back, 2 years back. And that even more is critical. Do you see how that relates to the net income? Do you see how they were getting creamed, just killed in the last 2 years, and then they recovered? Before we go any further, this is telling us a lot about what happened. Somehow, their wholesale costs were killing them for the last couple of years, and then somehow they found a way out of that rabbit hole with those high costs of their at their wholesale level. And it would be, we'd have to do some more investigation, but clearly they recognized that their problem began at the second line of their income statement. Do you ever, this, look, the company is unprofitable. See how it's unprofitable in those last previous 2 years, and then it became profitable? Again, this company's unprofitability for 2 years began on the second line of their financial statement. Do you see how their revenues were growing? Look. They were having healthy growth. What was killing them was before they even were able to leverage that growth, they were dead. Now here, real quick, I'm going to do one of these. Equals always a percent change is the ending value minus the beginning value. And then you close the parentheses, all divided by the beginning value. Their growth from 2015 to 2016 was 7.04%. That's not shabby. And then I can just copy and paste that formula. And then, howdy, their revenue just rocketed. Do you see that? So in other words, AMD, it was having weak revenue growth, and its wholesale costs were getting terrible compared to its revenue. But then they had a big, good, robust uphaul in their revenue from 2016 to 2017, and they managed to get their wholesale costs under control. As you can see in the gross margin. As a percentage of retail, their wholesale, as a percentage of retail, their gross rose aggressively. So we can actually do this. Copy. Well, let me do this. You can even do percentage of percentage. Copy. Paste. Copy, paste. In other words, their gross margin from 2015 to 2016 actually eroded. In other words, again, well, let me just say it again. From 2015 to 2016, their gross margin eroded. It fell. It dropped. It suffered. But then, from 2016 to 2017, the gross margin recovered amazingly. That's almost a 50% recovery in gross margin. And I'm going to just keep doing this. It's not going to really, you're not going to get it all and do this within a one or even two lectures. Over time, though, especially when you start doing this yourself, you begin to see the numbers emerge. Notice how I just keep doing these percentage changes. Now, here's something that's kind of sucky. Percentage changes don't really apply when you've got negatives involved in the calculation. It really, you can't do it. And that was why I kind of wanted to avoid a company that was had problems. And I got blindsided. I saw that AMD was profitable this last year, so I got caught a little bit. But anyway, enough. Operating margin. Bringing that one into the play. If I were to look at operating income, now again, let's recon the sheet. I want to look along here. There it is, operating income. Remember, operating income can be called other things. The most popular other name for the very same thing is earnings before interest and taxes. Operating income is the same thing on some company sheets as earnings before interest and taxes, or EBIT, is on other companies. So now we've identified the operating income line. It's 12. So what I can do now is operating margin is operating income over revenue. Operating income is operating income over revenue. So in this case, let me go back to the analytics sheet, and we'll say, okay, it equals, and we're going to get back over here to this guy. What did I say, line 12? What? Yeah. It was line 12, okay. Line 12. Wait, what? Am I really that bad off that I'm seeing one line up from where? Yes, I am. Oh, God. Divided by revenue. Now, let me just do the other ones here. Equals Line 12. Ew. Ooh, this is nasty territory. Wow. Howdy doody. Zow. Operating, okay. You see, clearly, in 2015 and 2016, AMD was in severe trouble. Now, the next thing, let's try it. Let's try a little bit deeper analytic on this. Sir, what was the beta? Do you remember what the beta was on this stock? Are you beginning to see why that beta is so big? This is such a risky company. Are you beginning to see something here that tells you? Okay. This is a company. Okay. You have one of your sisters. No, let's make it your aunt. One of your aunts is a very, she's looks really nice now. She's got a nice job, dresses well. for 2 years before that, she was a cult member with Insane Clown Posse. She comes to visit you. And she looks really nice. But, I mean, you know, you don't see that clown tat. You don't see the piercings through the shoulders and those kind of horrible things. Okay, do you trust her? No. You see, even a company like AMD, it's showing that it has, it's had a good year. It had a good year. Before that, this company was diving into mosh pits, listening to grindcore of with titles like "Come On Baby, Let's Trash This Place Tonight," their all-time romantic favorite of the Cramps, if you know those groups, which apparently you guys don't. You're from Illinois. Okay, moving on. You see, this company has clearly had some very bad years. It's shown a year that's good, but I mean, that's why this beta is really as high as it is. This violent volatility of a stock that obviously traders were dumping in very hard numbers for several years, and then suddenly it starts showing profitability, so the Wall Street boys are diving back into it, pumping its price up. So it's going whack down, and then back up. This is basically whack-a-mole for securities, which is actually kind of fun. Have you ever played whack-a-mole? It's awesome. It's really fun. And not when the animals are live, which they were this one time in this cabin I was in. I didn't know these animals popping up, beavers and things like that. And I thought it was a game, but it wasn't. You hit them. Ow! Okay. Whew. Boy, this coffee is good this morning. Rock and roll. Now, let's try net margin here. I'm going to do something real quick. And I'm going to pull back from this in a minute. But your net margin, okay, net margin, okay, equals. Now, we're going to go back over to the analytics sheet, or rather to the financials, and see if we can find the net margin, net income. It's right there. It's line 18. There it is. That divided by that. Oh, that's a little scary, okay? Equals, and these net margins are actually negatives. Equals, by the way, well, no, that's not true. I was going to say something that was false. Equals 18 that divided by that. And then sad story again, equals that divided by that. Yo, this company was bleeding. I mean, bleeding. And now its net margin is 0.81%. In other words, less than one penny of every dollar of revenue made it to where it belongs to the shareholders. Again, let me say that again. In this case, 0.8 of a penny made it to where it belongs to the shareholders from the revenue line per dollar. Ouch. Now, I'm going to run over here really quick. And I'm going to do something. SEC.gov, I'm going to do it again. Go to filings. I'm going to pull up another company here. Now, can you tell me a company that is an industry competitor, AMD, with AMD, against AMD? Intel, clearly. There are a few others. Anyone know any others that are competitors? I mean, you really don't need to know this kind of stuff. You can always look it up, unless you are a specialist in this industry. But I would probably, there are a couple of other companies, but your best one is Intel. INTC. Oh. Look at that. By the way, notice Intel, the beta. That's a pussycat beta compared to that four. Dividend, pays a dividend. Expected some capital gain on the stock. I mean, this is actually a more respectable stock. But what I want to do is I'm going to take the trading symbol and I'm going to come over here and do one real quick thing on its financials. Come on, Kay. This is called comparative analysis, what I'm doing. I'm just doing a really quick, dirty thing here. I'm curious, what is the net margin? What's the net margin of Intel? And I'm going to do that just as a quick back of the envelope thing. I'm really not in the mood to do another whole analytics sheet right now. So the net margin for the most recent year, 9601 divided by 62761. Let's see how far off AMD is from the industry standard company, the Intel. Wow, about 15 and a quarter cents a share survive. 15 and a quarter cents of every dollar at Intel that comes into revenue makes it to where it belongs to the shareholders. Again, for every dollar Intel brings in as revenue, a little more than 15 and a quarter cents belongs to the shareholders. Gets to where the shareholders have it. Now, Intel gives some of that back out as a dividend, and it gives some of that and it plows back the rest. You can see right here, look. It gives out of its $2.77 per share, it gives back, its dividend ratio is $1.20 divided by that. So the plowback would be 1 minus that. So really quick, Intel pays a dividend, $1.20 per share of the $2.77 earnings per share belonging to shareholders. So Intel gives back to its shareholders 43 cents of every dollar that it earns for them, which means that it plows back about 57 cents of every dollar. It plows back into the company. In other words, this is a pretty generous dividend. Intel, notice that's part of why its beta is not high. You've got a dividend that's there and it's decent. You got a company with insanely large revenues, and it's got a nice net margin of 15%. Unlike this mess of a company right here, which barely, it looks, oh, they're recovering, thank God. No, this company is not recovering. This company still belongs in the website thissucks.com. It's barely made 1 year of revenue positive net income. Clearly, it's gotten its major act together on its cost of goods sold, likely because it found new suppliers or something in China or whatever. But it's clearly getting its act together. But this is no doll baby of a corporation at all. Compared to Intel, its big competitor, AMD, is just a basket case still. Does that mean that you don't buy it? Talk to me. Is this a company that you avoid buying? I should have framed that a little differently. You're probably not insanely risk-taking like that. It's not a company stock that you would buy if you have any risk aversion at all. This is a roll of the dice kind of company. This is going to the slots machine at Earl's House of Pancakes and throwing $1,000 in and hoping for something good to come out. It won't, because at Earl's, even the pancakes are bad. Happy hour is when they stop making their pancakes. This is not a pretty stock, but that does not mean that it's something to never buy this. This would be put into an extremely high-risk portfolio. It's essentially a lottery ticket kind of stock. It's shown some life. It's like you've all been to casinos, right? No, that's right. You're not old enough to be a casino. Okay. You walk around and you just kind of keep an eye on different tables. And you look for a table that begins to show too many wins. That's interesting because you should see many more losses than wins anywhere in a casino. The closest you come to a zero-sum game is 21. But you just keep walking around. And once in a while, you're going to see a table, insanely risky odds, shouldn't win on it, but you keep seeing people winning on it. You sit down at that table and you play it. You're probably still going to get your butt kicked, but there's still a little bit better probability. This is a stock like that. This is one you're walking around looking at tables where you're probably going to lose money, and you find one where it looks like it might actually win more than it should. That's a weird example. I shouldn't be teaching you about gambling. Actually, honestly, with AMD, I can't do some of these. ROA and ROE, you can't really do if they're negative numbers. Okay, I can do it on this one. Return, okay, these are asset ratios. If you were to think about a company as nothing but a portfolio of investments, its assets would be the total value of your investment. It would be your portfolio's net asset value, NAV. So we do this ratio. We take the net income which would be that line 18 right there, and we divide it by, now I've got to find the balance sheet. Seriously? What in the world? Total assets, right there. Right there, that's the one I want. Oh, hey. They use different scales for the numbers. Seriously? The scale was... Whoops. The scale difference was 10,000, I think, wasn't it? Nope, it was... let's go back over here real quick. Yeah, I'm talking, saying, do this, do that. Okay, the scale of these numbers was in hundred thousands, millions. Oh, I get it. This one had to be the net assets were in what? What were those net assets in? Yeah, they were in millions, so I have to use millions. Okay, yeah, I got blindsided, and that's part of why I do this, okay? So I need... two more zeros. Ah, that makes sense. This portfolio, if this were a portfolio, if AMD's assets were just a pure liquidated portfolio, you would have earned a whopping 1.21% on that portfolio last year. In other words, don't. That sucks. Now, if we just go down and say, let's look at the owner's equity as a pure portfolio. The owners put money into this company. What did their money turn into? That would be the total shareholders' equity. Oh, hey. Total shareholders' equity. That number divided by net income let's try this again. That would be net income equals net income divided by net income. I need this number right here. Net income 18 divided by shareholders' equity. But I have to make, watch out, because I have to make sure total shareholders' equity is line 32. But I also have to divide that by 1, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3. 7.04%. Not as bad, but that still sucks. As a matter of fact, that typically, and I mean it's all over the board, but typically an ROA, you'd see 4 to 10%, somewhere in there. ROE will always be higher. Well, not always, but it should be higher. And an ROE should fall 8 to about 30%, depending upon the company and the industry. But so this, even though that's 7.04%, in other words, the shareholders' investments earned for them, in terms of net income, 7%. That doesn't impress me at all, especially when you got a beta that high. You should be seeing something that is colored in gold there. And yet this company is, again, it has struggled. It is crawling out of a grave. And you give it credit for doing that, but I sure as heck would not consider this to be a very safe investment at all. I will actually, the sheets, the analytic formula is online in ReggieNet right now. And I think I uploaded this analytic sheet. You can do the rest of AMD yourself, but on Thursday, I'm going to take a company that is more traditionally profitable, and we'll do it again from beginning to end with the ratio and analytics. But that's all I have for you today. Go home.